I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is veteran journalist and educator Lou Heldman. Welcome to Issues 2020. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You know, you have announced plans to retire after several years at Wichita State University. Tell us about making that decision to hang it up, so to speak.
Well, I came to Wichita State 13 years ago under pretty unusual circumstances. I had been working in journalism and the business side of journalism, publishing, for 35 years. And most all of that for the same company, Knight Ridder. And Knight Ridder had brought my wife and I to Wichita 18 years ago, right after 9/11, in fact. And I came to Wichita to be the chief executive officer and president and publisher of the Wichita Eagle. And no one knows what that means because everybody knows what an editor does, but nobody knows what a publisher does. So the publisher is in charge of the whole operation and is responsible for all of it. But as a publisher, you spend most of your time on business issues because working for a public company, they want good journalism and they want good community outreach. But mostly what they want is for you to exceed budgeted profit every month. And I'd been a publisher before in State College, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is, and then came to do the job in Wichita because I said, I love State College, but I wanted to go someplace more complex with more difficult and interesting business issues. And boy, was Wichita complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because right after 9/11, you'll remember, the aircraft industry was already in trouble at that point. But it went deep, deep into a hole. And right away, I was dealing with issues at the newspaper of you know, how do we patch all these financial holes in this ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent about 5.5 years as publisher, and then a new company bought the paper called McClatchy, and I spent a year with them, but it wasn't a happy year. And I was in my mid-50s and ready to retire, not ready to retire from working, but ready to retire from the newspaper business, which was clearly in a hole it wasn't going to get out of. And I didn't really have the heart for the layoffs that would be required. because I love the people who worked at the Eagle, and I just didn't want to be the person to tell them, you got to go. So instead, I went, and my plan was to seek a position at the KU School of Journalism, because I knew there was one opening up that didn't require a PhD. And so I asked President Beggs at Wichita State, whom I'd gotten to know pretty well, if he would recommend me for this job that was going to open at KU. And the minute I said I was retiring, he said, "We don't want you going with those people in Lawrence, not those people." He said, "The provost and I have been talking, and we think we can use you at Wichita State. Come to Wichita State." And so I talked to the provost, Gary Miller, and they really put together a job for me that didn't exist. And I came to Wichita State working on communications and academic affairs, and I did things like start a monthly television show called Wichita State in the World, and we did about 2 years' worth of those shows, and that was at a time when websites were becoming more and more important, and we redid the website, and in the meantime, I began teaching in the Elliott School of Communication, which is a spectacular place, great faculty, great students, and instead of doing what everybody might have expected, which is teaching journalism classes, I had gotten really interested in everything going on in the internet and how it was changing people's lives and how it was changing business. And the Elliott School let me teach a course in that I developed myself. And the first course was on the intersection of media and business and society. And then I spun off another course called just social media. And this was all, you know, like 2008, 2009, before social media had taken over everything, but the trends were clearly coming.
Well, and, I'm gonna interrupt you because
I had a great time.
I mean, I got to interrupt you because I won't get any of my three questions in.
Hey, I'm sorry.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. So you arrived at Wichita State in 2007. Sounds to me like you've been pretty busy since that time. What did give us your impression of the school and Wichita State and what kind of place it is to work?
Well, I will tell you that I was really embarrassed, because even though I had been to Wichita State as a newspaper publisher, I'd been there for basketball games, and I'd served on a committee for the Aldrich Museum, and I knew it was a beautiful campus, but I didn't really know much about the students. And of course, all the strength of the place comes from the students and being around people, not just young people, but people of every age who are learning. And so I became a really committed shocker probably within the first year or two I was on campus, because I came to believe that our university, probably like just about every university, is this remarkable machine that changes lives. Because it brings people in, and they have a set of educational experiences, and they have a set of social experiences, and they learn from professors, but they also learn from each other, and they learn more about life. And those are maybe the more traditional students, but then you have adult students who either never got a chance to go to college before or did go to college, but they're coming back to learn a new skill and something that will really propel them in their career. And the final thing I'll say about this, Steve, is that Wichita State is, because of its setting in the city, has a very different mission and outlook than, you know, all the other universities in Kansas are essentially rural. They're set in small towns and not close to, in most cases, not really close to industry. And in Wichita, people can go back and forth from their job to the classroom or laboratory, and everything they learn in one place has application in the other place. Mm-hmm. And so there's this virtuous cycle of learning that goes on, and it doesn't just help the student. It helps the companies they work for, because the companies get exposed to the latest knowledge, and it helps the professors because the students come back from their workplace and say, hey, we're learning this, but where I am, whether it's, you know, Cargill or Coke or Spirit, they're changing to that. Maybe we ought to be focused on that. And so the professors learn, too.
Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic, if you will, because it's quite a story. Give us a general statement. How's the university responded to all of this, do you think?
Well, I think remarkably well, because I think we were really fortunate that the two top people at the university, President Jay Golden and Provost Rick Miumma, both had very good antenna. So long before people thought Wichita State would need to close down, they were already making preparations. Very early in the process, they pulled together a pandemic response team headed by Camille Childers, who's a nurse, who's the head of student health services. And that first meeting I was in, there must have been, I don't know, 60, 70 people in a classroom, probably with a capacity of 50. The fire marshal wouldn't have been happy. But right away, I guess this was in beginning of March or late February, right away we were talking about everything the university would need to do, and the list was enormous, but we worked our way through it. Hmm. And can I tell you what my contribution was?
What was your contribution then? Yeah.
Well, I knew that Go Create, which is the fabulous sort of workshop open to the public on campus in the Bardo Center, that Go Create was gonna be the engine of creating about 5,000 masks right away. And I went over to Go Create and talked to some friends there and said, hey, could we get Wichita State branding on those masks? So they began turning out shocker masks. Mm-hmm. And I really like that every office on campus has been issued a kit, and it has a lot of sanitary supplies in it, so that everyone there can always be using disinfectant, and if they don't have access to a sink, they can put things on their hands to make sure they're germ free, and then they've got, you know, paper towels and all sorts of things and shocker masks. So because part of my job was to promote the Wichita State brand, I want even the masks to have WooShock on them.
There you go. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2020 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is veteran journalist and educator Lou Heldman. Lou, with the way things, do you think there are going to be classes on campus in the fall, And fold that into another question. What portion of the curriculum is going to be online in the future, do you think?
Well, yes, I think there are going to be classes on campus in the fall, and that's what the university is preparing for. But the university is also preparing to be. Do you remember Steve, the old football coach, that he wanted his players to be agile, mobile, and hostile?
That's right.
So I think that every bit of preparation is. I mean, we're planning for the best, and I shouldn't say we, since I'm retired now. You know, at least a week, but the university is planning for the best and preparing for the worst. And what professors were told was to first of all make sure your curriculum is in modules, so you might be able, let's say you have 6 weeks. Where you're going to be able to do in-person classes, but then the next wave comes and we have to shut down. Try to front-load the parts of the class that really benefit from in-person teaching, and then prepare to teach the rest online. So every class, I think, is going to be a hybrid class that can make the transition if needed.
Right.
And there will also be, you know, classes that may be totally online. I think on your question about online teaching, what was good was most of the students and a lot of the faculty had already had exposure to online classes. It's more and more common.
Right.
And I think what this did was accelerate a trend that was already existing, which is that learning comes in many forms. And the Dr. Bardo used to say, if you had somebody who went into a coma for 100 years and came out of it and went into a university classroom, they wouldn't know they'd been gone because the style of teaching, sometimes called the sage on the stage, meaning an expert dispensing knowledge, you know, that style hadn't changed in a lot of cases for 100 years. But with the technology, it's been bound to change. And learning, you know, has become, at every level of education, learning has become much more of a group process with the professor as a resource, but not as the only source of wisdom. So,
all right,
it's going to change way more in the next 20 years than it has even in the past 20.
Yeah. Hey, tell us a little bit about what you know about the students. Are they much different from the students in the past?
I think that my experience isn't broad enough to give you an expert opinion on that, but I tell you one thing that changed at Wichita State in my 12 years there, there's way more pride in being at Wichita State, and there are way more students making Wichita State their first choice, not just because they live in South Central Kansas, and it's the most convenient place, but because it's a place they really want to be, because of the campus, because of the activities, because of the faculty. One of the really brilliant things that Dr. Bardo and Provost Rick Muma worked on was what's called the I-35 corridor strategy, for strategic enrollment management. And the idea was that there are a lot of really overcrowded universities in Texas, is the best example. So there are way more qualified high school students trying to get into Texas University engineering programs than there are slots for them. And we want Wichita State to be a choice for people all through Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri and up into Denver. Mm-hmm. A lot of families are uncomfortable sending their kids to really big universities where they'll get lost. And from a career standpoint, there are vastly more opportunities in Wichita to have great part-time jobs in your field while you're learning about your field. So what I see at Wichita State now is it used to be when I first got to campus, you'd see a smattering of Wichita State T-shirts and caps, and just as many or more KU and K-State. And now it's pretty rare to see a KU or K-State T-shirt or hat or sweatshirt or jacket on campus. And you see Shocker gear everywhere. And people have a lot of pride in going to Wichita State.
And you mentioned something there that I've noticed that in the past, going to the local department stores or something, Wichita State stuff, where you couldn't find it in the old days.
But right.
It's now it's become a very, very popular brand and a popular logo, you know. Let me ask you, what do you tell people, young people who might be interested in a career in journalism? What do you say to them?
Well, I absolutely think that there's going to be journalism because, you know, as I used to teach in my classes, this need to know, this curiosity about the world that's fulfilled by journalists, that's ancient. It goes back to the earliest civilizations. Let me tell you about the first communicators. They were people who would take stories from village to village, and they had to have two attributes. One was they had to be fast runners to get the news long distances, and they also had to be good storytellers, because they were carrying the stories. And then those people were replaced by technology, and the technology was drums and an agreed upon code that allowed the news to travel faster from village to village. And that idea of the ability to tell stories and then increase the speed at which they can be told, that's gone on for thousands of years. So, we're still going to need people who can gather information and share that information in a way that's interesting to receivers of the information. So I think journalism is a great career.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. When you retire or in retirement, you hunt fish, go sit by the lake, do nothing. What do you think?
I have dedicated myself to hitting the golf ball better.
Mm.
thus far, I am failing
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we are out of time. But Lou, hey, thanks for your contributions, not only in journalism, but in education here at Wichita over the years. And, you know, all we can say is thank you for what you've done and best of luck to you in your retirement. We hope all the best for you.
Thank you, Steve.
And also, thank you for spending some time with us here on the Issue Show. It's always good to talk to somebody who knows a lot about Wichita and is ready to share with us. Lou, thank you so much for being with us. And again, good luck to you in your retirement. That's all. That's our guest, of course, veteran journalist and educator, Lou Heldman. That's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.